Greetings, Cap fans, and welcome to episode 49 of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Verbanis, and as always, I'm joined by Mr. Bob Lucius. Bob? Aho.
All right.
I wasn't calling you a bad word.
Yeah, I don't know any indigenous languages.
It's aho.
That's good. That's good. I don't know indigenous languages, Rick.
Should I explain this then?
I'm going to have to rely on you to explain that greeting.
Well, Bob, that is how you say hello in the Kickapoo tribe language.
Interesting. And how appropriate.
I know, because we are going to be covering the United States of Captain America number 3, which introduces one of the characters from the Captain's Network. And it just so happens to be a character that it comes from the Kickapoo tribe. So I looked up how to say hello.
Wow. Wow. Your attention to background research is impressive.
Well, I appreciate that. I give my all, Bob. I give everything
every time. Every time you leave, you put it all on the table, and there is nothing left.
Exactly. We're going to be covering continue covering this miniseries. We've covered. Listen, if you haven't read number 3 and you're afraid of spoilers, then all right, this is an episode for you. Or if you haven't listened or read for 1 and 2, you can go back. We reviewed issue number 1 of the United States of Captain America in episode 41. And then we reviewed number 2 in episode 45. So you could go back and take a listen to those. You may want to do it just for fun to see how different Rick does the voices episode to episode, because I don't recall how I did any of these voices from 4 episodes ago.
It's like having a Ouija board. Rick becomes possessed in the moment with the voices that he'll use. So, you never know what you're going to get, folks.
That is very true, Bob.
There you go, folks. There you go.
I'm just waiting for when Marvin the Martian
makes
an appearance in Captain America, because then I could do his voice.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Yeah. They've got an alien. So, I mean, why not? Right. They got the xenomorph there.
That's true.
It's called.
Yeah. So. Captain America could be like, throw the shield at Marvin, and he'd be like, oh, you make me so angry. I'm going to blow up the earth.
I got to tell you, Rick, that would be funny even if I wasn't drinking.
Did you ever notice that Marvin the Martian sounds like Dudley Do-Right?
You're right. He does have a certain similarity. Yeah.
I'll save you, Penelope.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? I mean, isn't that really close?
That is close. Yeah. These hidden mysteries.
I know. Yeah. All right. So we'll see what voices I do today. I mean, listen, Captain America, I'm pretty regular on that. Mm-hmm. I've noticed, though, that my Sam Wilson tends to change. And I don't know if it was from watching the Falcon and Winter Soldier, because, the MCU version of Sam is from the South, as opposed to
from Harlem. Yeah.
Harlem, right. Rather than Harlem. So I've been doing a little more of a Southern accent for Sam.
Is it life imitating art or art imitating life? Who can tell?
I don't know. There you go, waxing poetic on me again. I don't know. We'll see. What's been going on in the Facebook page? We keep getting more people joining. I don't know. What are we up to? 4,100, 4,200, something like that. Although I have to say, the last few months, it's not well, whoever, by the time you listen to us, it'll be a few months. It's been a little less, if you've noticed, when I do the welcome email, welcome post, it's a little less because we've been a little more strict with the people. We changed some of the questions. We're making sure that people, you know, answer the questions. So if you are in the group, you're part of the family.
It's elite. Yeah. I've always said I never would want to be part of a group that would have me.
Okay. Thank you, Groucho.
So
I feel like Steve, I got that reference.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, so you should feel honored out there that you have been accepted.
Oh, you know, I feel bad, Bob. I didn't recognize, I caught it at the time when you said something, but I didn't laugh. And I was too busy talking about something else
that's
that I didn't
the
pause
only time.
For.
Yeah.
This was in the United States of Captain America number 2. And we were talking about the speed demon. And you said, I didn't see that coming.
Right.
And I was like, oh, he's talking about Quicksilver in the MCU. But I just kept going and I felt bad afterwards because, when I edit these things, I hear them like a million times, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I didn't, Bob, that was witty on your part.
Well.
And I totally didn't. I mean, I'm sure the listeners laughed.
To be perfectly upfront, I am, my wife and my son never laugh at my jokes.
I understand that.
I'm very much, I'm so sort of used to it. In fact, sure. I start every class I teach at the university. Every week I have a joke that I start the class with. And
this week?
Well, this week I was talking about, research that I've been reading about climate change. And a group of scientists from Harvard went out and they did surveys in different countries. And they went to Lebanon, they went to Syria, they went to Israel, they went to Egypt. And they conducted a survey of, roughly 3,000 respondents in each of these countries to determine their beliefs about climate change. And the thing about that was surprising about Egypt was only 15% of the individuals
surveyed.
Oh, my
God, Bob, did your students like go get on with the joke by
and
now?
They said 15%, only 15% had any belief that climate change was happening. And I said, that's crazy. It's almost as if they're living in denial. Just groans, right? But I warned them, in the first class that I would be telling dad jokes.
Yeah.
Every week. These weren't going to be funny jokes. These were going to be dad jokes, and they're just going to have to deal with it. So,
okay. Here's the thing about dad jokes. And I think a lot of our listeners are dads, they had one. And so, my sense of humor is very dry. Okay. Uh-huh. I go for more of the play on words, the witty, the sarcasm,
right.
The satire, right? I'm more of that. I'm not over the top. So to me, It when it comes to dad jokes, I think it's all in the delivery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you could take the same exact joke, and if you could tell it in a very dry, like, I'm not trying to be funny kind of offhand kind of remark, then I think those are funny, personally. Now, that's just me.
Right.
But, if you're trying to be like, did you hear about the clock that wouldn't, Like, you get a groan, you know?
Well, it's not the easiest, Rick, to to tell jokes about climate change. So, you just do the best you can do. What I'm equipped with.
Yeah. Well, sometimes your audience is hot or cold.
But I find that after I tell those jokes.
Oh, my God, Bob, that was a right there. I just gave you a dad joke, but I did it very slight and very subtle.
Yeah.
I said, sometimes your audience is either hot or cold.
Nice. I've been using a lot of it's getting warmer, it's getting hotter jokes. So that one, slipped right by me.
Well,
but what I find is...
That's the thing. It was a dad joke, but it was in the delivery.
It was, yeah. You delivered right past me. But what I found is when I tell a joke that's really bad, they're super eager for me to just get to the material.
Oh.
And that's why they're there after all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. All right, Mr. Funny Man. I'm paying $1,000 for this class. Come on.
That's right. The other thing, not to bore the listeners, but the other thing I do is every class, I ask them a movie trivia question. that has in some way something to do with sustainability, but it's not, and it always has to do with a science fiction movie, but it's a science fiction movie that they invariably have not seen, because I only pick ones from the 60s and 70s, sometimes the early 80s. And so, you know, well before their time.
Sure.
And so they got to struggle a bit with coming. So this week was Logan's Run, and you know, not a single one of them knew the answer to it. So,
of course.
But there's always a prize.
Get out of class free.
This week was an endangered species brand, dark chocolate, velvety chocolate bar or something like that. So, nice. I don't skim.
No, man, you bring it.
Yeah, education's important.
Absolutely.
In any case.
I used to have, talk about not having a sense of humor and teachers in class. So my freshman year in college, I had this class. It was the worst class ever. It was the introduction of biological anthropology. Okay. So it was the study of basically cavemen and rocks.
Nice.
Right?
That's fun.
It was a Monday, Wednesday, Friday class, 8:30 a.m. lecture hall.
Yeah.
Boring material.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And his name, should I say his name? I won't say his name. But he was a doctor.
Yeah.
His last name was a cereal brand, manufacturer. So I won't say his name.
Okay.
But anyway, he did not have a sense of humor. And so, you know, The Far Side, right?
Yeah.
The Far Side cartoon, or a comic strip, I should say, right? Gary Larson
doing
those little one square kind of things. And he used to do a lot of cavemen.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was part of his shtick. And he would put up on the projection a Gary Larson Far Side, and he'd say, and if Mr. Larson understood, there would be no way that rock could exist at the same time as and you're just like, oh my god. It wasn't even like, this is funny and it pertains to this. He was dissecting Gary Larson's
the accuracy.
Yeah. Oh boy,
this man has no intellectual honesty. Yeah.
Oh boy. So I think I'd enjoy being one of a student in your class, Bob.
I think you would too. I'm a hoot. Ask anyone.
Yeah. I'm a hoot. Just ask me. All right. So let's get to Captain America, United States of Captain America number 3.
Yes, please.
You know, the solicitation for this issue. Let's see. It goes to, this is how Marvel solicited it, in case you were like, should I buy this issue? The Shield Thief targets a cultural landmark in Kansas, hoping to put a permanent stain on Captain America's image. Sam and Steve are hot on his trail and aided by Joe Gomez, the Kickapoo tribe's own Captain America. But there's more to the thief's agenda than meets the eye. Are the three caps headed straight into a trap? And do they have any other choice? So we get to the cover here, and maybe I'll just kind of mention who's the creators, right? So we've had the writer, Christopher Cantwell, has been the writer for this series, and Dale Eaglesham has been the penciler, and he's been inking his own work. Matt Miller is the colorist. We have Joe Carmack. I think it's Caramanga, is a letterer. And then we have the trio of editors, Alana Smith, Martin Biro, and Tom Brevoort. Now, this cover is by Gerard Perel, who I think has been doing the covers, although Alex Ross did the first issue, I think, right?
He did,
and on the cover here, we have Captain America standing next to Joe Gomez, who is the Kickapoo tribe's Captain America. And they're both in their garb, standing back to back with their fists raised, almost like they're surrounded and they've been in a fight, because they look like they've been through the ringer. And now, just like last issue, I'm a little taken aback by the fact that they put Cap in his normal uniform as opposed to what he's been wearing in the story. But that's typical, right? I mean, they, you know, they got to put him in the one that everybody recognizes on the cover. And then how would you, do you want to describe how Joe Gomez's Captain America costume looks like? Do you want to describe it to the listeners?
But it's hard to describe, Rick. I mean,
why do you think I'm giving it to you, Bob?
Yeah, it's a tough, it's tough, Rick. I'm not exactly an expert or a specialist in indigenous attire, but I would say, you know, it looks just like you might expect an indigenous sort of person to adapt the Captain America red, white, and blue.
I'm going to stop you here, Bob, because you keep throwing that term around, indigenous. Now, I think for some of our listeners, they may not 100% understand what you mean by that.
We have historically called, initially we called them Indians, right? That's not quite appropriate. We call them Native American peoples. I guess that's still
Native Americans.
Right, yeah. Native Americans. But, you know, I think the, you know, at least in the circles that I move in, you know, indigenous peoples are now sort of the accepted term for referring to what we once called the sort of native peoples to a land.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Just wanted to make sure all our listeners were on understanding, because you're trying to paint a picture here visually.
Right. It's a good point. It's a good point. It's a good question, Rick. Sometimes we take, you know, the words we use for granted, and they're not, maybe not necessarily universally used or understood or whatever, but in any case, so, you know, he's got a headdress with of course the A on it, with some feathers. He's wearing a blue mask. He's got the star on his chest, but it's sort of it almost looks like Steve Rogers, Secret Avengers costume, right? His shield costume, underneath with a white star with a red background. And he's got sort of these almost look like shoulder pads that have stars on them as well, but that are fringed with, it looks to be red animal fur. So it's, you know, it's a very sort of, you know, indigenous version of what we expect Captain America to wear.
Very, very nicely done. Good description. And then, of course, you know, when we post this in our Facebook group, we'll certainly include the cover on there. So if anybody wants to get an eyeball on that as well. All right. So
I got to say, Rick, I mean, I don't have to say, but I'm going to say it. I do like that they do have the design variants for each of these issues, where we can see sort of how the artist conceptualized what this character would look like. And so for each of the first three issues, they have a variant that gives us the design from different perspectives. And I think that's really cool. I mean, they're not, they're never really valuable in terms of collectors, but you know, if you are a Cap person, they're just cool to have. I always appreciate those.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And also I want to point out too, that all of these issues have two stories in them, right? There's the main story, which has Steve and Sam and their interaction with the villains and the Captain's Network. And then there's a backup story for the character from the Captain's Network that was introduced in this issue. And we have not been covering the backup story, not because they're not good stories. It's just, we want to make sure that, you know, people have something to look forward to and go out and buy the comic. So by all means, go out and buy the comic. But for the first story in this, we'll be covering today. Now I'm going to read the recap for so people understand what's been going on in the previous two issues.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Over the decades, many have taken up the mantle of Captain America, drawing inspiration from Steve Rogers, the original Sentinel of Liberty. Whoever wields the shield carries on the fight for freedom for all. Days before he was due to lend his shield to a museum exhibit, Captain America was ambushed by a super-fast assailant wearing his costume. The imposter stole Cap's shield and used it to attack a train. Steve and Sam Wilson, aka the Falcon, were aided in their rescue efforts by an unexpected ally, Aaron Fisher, a member of the Captain's Network, a loose collective of people protecting their communities under the mantle of Captain America. Shortly after, Aaron was wounded by a sniper, leading Sam and Steve to believe that someone was targeting the members of the Captain Network. Sam agreed to suit up again as Captain America alongside Steve, and together they set out to reclaim the shield and protect the network. Their mission brought them to Pennsylvania, where they helped Harrisburg's local Cap, Michelle Wright, fight off an assassination attempt by the shield thief and his commander, who were secretly Cap's longtime enemies, Speed Demon and Cynthia Superior Schmidt in disguise. So that was the big reveal on the last page of issue two. So now we're in northern New Mexico. It's the middle of the day in the middle of the desert. And there's the speedster in Captain America's uniform with a shield on his back running through the desert. Almost looks like meep meep.
I know, they just need to get some acne materials out there to trip them up.
And in hot pursuit are Cap, Steve and Sam. Now, as it's mentioned, Sam is wearing his Captain America outfit with his new shield on the back. And then he's on his motorcycle, and then Steve's on his motorcycle, but he's wearing his commander outfit, which is the blue outfit with the white star in the middle and the three white stripes going from either side on it. And he's got the helmet that I don't particularly care for. You know, I've never been a fan of the chin strap.
Huh.
I don't like that on my cap. I'm a purist that way.
Interesting. Yeah. It's very soldierly.
I don't know.
I was going to wear my helmet. I've got it up there. I was going to slap it on tonight with the chin strap, but you know, I look like a dork in it. So. Yeah.
You're going to save that for later?
Yeah.
All right. So here's Sam, and he says, I could catch him on the road, but this ain't a mountain bike. He's cresting 125 miles per hour. It's still getting faster. We're going to lose him. And in 2 minutes, we're going to be in southern Kansas. And then all of a sudden, Speed Demon jumps over a huge crevice because he's going so fast he can do it. But the two Caps slide up to the edge and stop their motorcycles. Let him go. We'll end up wrecking out here, and then we'll have to walk out of New Mexico. We know where he's going anyway. Been gathering intel on the captains. There's a man named Joe Gomez on the Kickapoo Reservation up in Kansas, kind of a fix-it guy for the community. And it's rumored that sometimes he calls himself Captain America. Don't you have a phone? What? You got a piece of paper with chicken scratch all over it. You could just use your phone. I do use my phone for calling people. So, our fast guy, we sure? Well, it's not Quicksilver. He's too proud to wear those stripes. Proud? Pietro wears a diagonal lightning bolt. And Wizard's still dead. And then all of a sudden, Sam and Steve look at each other and they say at the same time, Speed Demon. Has to be, right? Has to be. The annoying voice. And he was never a big fan of you or me. Any thoughts on the woman? And they start to take off on their motorcycle to get back to the road. German accent gives me a few thoughts, but again, I want to be sure. Regardless, we got to get to Joe Gomez before they do. They've done enough damage already. And then the next page cuts back to a couple of flashbacks. And it's 2 days ago. And you see Speed Demon in Cap's uniform throwing his shield at a jet that's taking off. Took out that F-16 in South Dakota during fighter wing exercises. pilot was barely able to eject. And then yesterday, he ruined the 4th of July parade in Guthrie, 17 injured. That one felt like insult to injury. I did not just chase these people across Texas to watch them raise hell in every corner of the country. And I want our shield back. It's interesting that Steve says our shield back.
Yeah, I like that.
Do you?
I do.
I'm worried now, Bob. I'm worried. I noticed it in the first issue, and then I really noticed it in the second issue. Mm-hmm. Like in the first issue, when Steve sees Sam, he says, when he comes up and Sam's got the costume on, the Cap costume, he goes, oh, it looks better on you, right? Mm-hmm. And then the second issue, he says something else to that effect, something I can't recall off the top of my head, but something about the, I'm not so sure about, you know, Captain America these days. Like, he's been showing doubt mm-hmm. about his effectiveness as Captain America. He's been showing praise for Sam as Captain America. He just said, our shield. I'm starting to get a little concerned that when this series is over, Steve's not Cap and the new series kicks off and maybe it's like it was before where mm-hmm. we got a character who's the new Cap and then maybe we, you know, in an own series like Sam did and then we've got Steve, you know, being his own guy, you know, and so I don't know. I think just that's got a good that
read.
Vibe.
That's a good read on the situation. I think, you know, considering the success in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and where things seem to be going in that sort of slice of our reality, I think that's a good read. And particularly since he is wearing the Commander Rogers uniform in this series, I think you've drawn a bead on something.
Yeah. So I thought it through and it doesn't make sense. It would make sense if Captain America 4, that movie, is coming out next year, but it's not. It's going to take a couple of years before that movie comes out. Mm-hmm. So it would make sense if Sam Wilson in the MCU is Captain America to have a book as Sam Wilson as Captain America. It just makes sense. It's business sense. It's marketing. Yeah. It's, you know, hey, there's people out there who are going to enjoy the movie. They enjoy the TV show. Let's give them a comic book, right? It makes sense, but it's too soon to do that now, right? Because the movie's at least a couple years away.
Well, yeah.
You know? So I don't know.
That's what, 24 issues, man?
What's 24 issues?
2 years away, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because this series is going to end, you know, we got two more issues and then it's over. Then
yeah.
And then we anticipate that the new Captain America ongoing series will pick up.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm on the fence on this one. I see exactly what you're saying, but I also see that I could really get into some, it's gotta be good writing, right?
It's gotta be awesome writing
to explore Steve Rogers. And we've done this before, you know, we've obviously gone down this road before. Steve Rogers exploring what everything means to him and what it's like to operate without the uniform. We've seen this before and I could get into that again. But it, you know, it all depends on the writing.
100%.
So,
all right. So, they get to Kansas and they're at Joe Gomez's house and, it's evening and there he is. Joe is standing there to let the costumed Sam and Steve in the door. Now, Joe, he looks like a big guy, right? So he's, I don't know how tall he is, but he's about as tall, almost as tall as Steve. And, you know, he's a Native American. He's got a ponytail in the back. He's wearing a nice dress shirt and dress slacks. You know, good looking guy. I would put him maybe at that 30 range. I don't know. But when we go deeper into the comic, we find out he's 43. He's looking good for 43.
He is, man.
So Cap says,
people say I look great for 63. So
You don't look a day over 62, Bob.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So, yeah. You know, unfortunately, as you know, I'm 53. So I'm never quite sure how to take that. But in any case.
Joe Gomez, we called ahead. Hey, come on in. Thanks, Joe. I'm glad we found you. You kidding me? When you called, I didn't believe it. But then it made a little sense. Because you're one of them, the captains. I mean, look, are you here to tell me to knock it off? No, we wouldn't. And Sam and Steve are sitting on his couch. And Sam looks at Steve and says, what my friend here is trying to say is we're honored that these stars and stripes belong to everybody. Sam's right. But we're here tonight, Joe, because you're in a lot of danger. Right. The guy dressed like you running around stirring up trouble. I still don't get why anyone would care about me all the way out here. That's just it. These stars and stripes, they are for everybody. But these people want to tear all that down. I want to show you something. And they get up and he walks him to one of the bedrooms. I do maintenance out here. Fix folks' pipes and fridges and stuff for free when I can. And the authorities around here don't, well, someone's got to fill in the gaps, help out. That's why I take this captain thing pretty seriously. And then Steve walks into the room and he's, holy moly. And there's a big splash page of this room that's dedicated to Captain America. There's framed photos everywhere up on all the walls. I mean, they just packed. And then there's magazines, there's newspapers, there's old, looks like movie reels. And Steve's standing there just dumbfounded. And he goes, why me? You don't remember me, do you? Don't sweat it. Look, why you? Because you mean it. When you say it, you mean it. What everybody else out there promises us, says we can have, but then takes away. They don't see us. But what you believe in, what you fight for, it's for all of us. Everyone, like you said. I feel like I could do better. No, listen. You don't need to be my hero, but you can inspire me to be one. And that's what this series is all about, right?
That's it, right there in a nutshell, man.
Is Steve inspiring people to be heroes?
You could take that one panel and that's it.
Mm-hmm. So they're sitting at his dining room table, kitchen table, and they're looking at some papers. And Joe says, saw this dynamite order come through 2 days ago for a construction contractor, but he never ordered it, and it never got here. Dynamite. Any nearby targets? Something that could really wound spirits? And Sam says, Monroe Elementary School. The integration site, Brown versus Board. And it's less than an hour from here. So, Bob, do you want to talk about Brown versus Board and why that's important?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the overturning of separate but equal, if I'm not mistaken, and led the way for integration of education for all people, regardless of their skin color.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So back in 1954, it was Brown versus the Board of Education of Topeka.
Yeah.
And it was a decision in the Supreme Court, which ruled that U.S. state laws establishing racial segregation in public schools are unconstitutional. So it is a very important thing. So apparently the school, Monroe Elementary School, was where that was out. And Joe says, take out a captain and a massive symbol of American unity in one night. Give me 10 minutes. And he starts going upstairs. And Steve says, for what? So I can suit up. And he smiles. So the next page is a big splash. And it's Joe in his full garb, the way you described him, Bob. Mm-hmm. And he's on his motorcycle, and they're traveling via moonlight along the mountainside here. And there's a quote, and it's from Helen Hunt Jackson in 1875. And the quote says, "Cure for freedom's harms is freedom still." Any thoughts on that?
Man, when I read this the first couple times, you know, I sort of lingered on that, and it's a tough one to wrap your head around.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I'm still not sure what to make of it, particularly. I mean, I don't want to get into any political talk or anything like that, no, Rick, no. But I mean, it's one of those things where it really, it sort of sits with you, particularly in our present context about, you know, the arguments that we're having about different things. And that's it sort of resonates, you know?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, a lot of these things are up for interpretation, right? So
yeah.
To me, the way it reads is, you know, there's some harms that come with freedom, but the cure for that is still freedom,
mm-hmm.
you know? So right. I don't know. It's yeah. interesting. So I guess I would love to have Christopher Cantwell on here so we could talk with him and yeah. ask him questions like this, because why is this quote relevant and what does it mean to him?
And I got to tell you, we'd be asking him questions that he doesn't get asked elsewhere.
I know. Right. Uh-huh. I mean, Bob, last time I checked, we are the number one podcast about Captain America comic books.
I think I read that. I don't know if it was Time or Newsweek or something, but I mean, I read it someplace.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Might have been in the group. I'm not sure.
No, I think it was a Facebook group. Yeah. Or it might have been my own post. I don't know. But anyway, so they're at the elementary school and it's late at night. And Cap says, pretty quiet, I can't figure out how they're going to involve my shield. Maybe this is about more than the shield. Prescott spoke here last week. Prescott? Governor candidate. He's the front runner in the primary right now. And he's Cheyenne. Wow. Wait, Prescott? He was here last week? Yeah. This might not be about a place. It might be about a man. And just then, Superior comes out in her garb, her red, white, and blue garb with a machine gun, and she starts firing on the three of them. But Cap gets his electric shield, his photon shield, up very quickly, just in time. And Bob, what's the sound the machine gun makes? Still think it's a bug zapper.
I love the sound effects that comic writers try to use to get that sound across.
And then so next page, Steve's got his shield up, Joe's got his shield up, but Sam is throwing his shield and he disarms Superior. And he says, well, we fell for that one pretty good. Who the hell is that? One of the people who wants you dead. And then Superior says, none of you leave here alive. Thought you didn't want to make us a martyr. Change of plan. She comes at him with a knife. It's good if every last person in your uniform dies. And he flips her and he disarms her because, you know, Steve's a great hand-to-hand combatant. Knew I recognized that blade. Schmidt family heirloom. Tell me, how is your dear old dad? His skull still red? Make your jokes. What's divided will fall. Well, Cynthia, you just went up against a united team of three. You're not dividing anything. You've already been divided. And just then, a shadowy figure comes and hits Steve from behind with a metal pipe. And then next page, Steve wakes up from the blackness and he looks like his head's ringing. And he looks, Sam, Joe. And he goes over and they've both been stabbed. Stay with me, Sam. Joe. And Sam sits up, but Joe's in worse shape. Something ambushed us, something big. Joe. Well, I'm not doing so hot. You're hurt. Bad. We've got to get you out of here. Prescott. Prescott's speaking today in town. They got me good, but they didn't try to kill me. Joe was the target, just like Nichelle and Aaron. Adding us to the body count isn't part of the plan, at least not yet. I think I just ticked her off. Whoever else was there, that's who's in charge. And so they're on the back of the motorcycle and bringing Joe. So they're in Topeka, and it's daytime now. And they got Joe. Yeah, so they're at the campaign speech, and there's a big crowd. They got Joe on a gurney going into an ambulance, and Joe says to Steve, I'm not out for the count. I can still mix it up. You're going to be fine as long as you go to the hospital right now. That's two, Cap. That's two. What are you? Cap, I'm in the crowd. Something's off. I feel like I'm being watched. Coming to you now, Sam. Stay there. Maybe it's my recent head injury, but I feel like someone's got a bead on me. And then just then we've got Prescott coming up onto the stage. And he's waving to the crowd. Hello, Kansas. You have eyes on anything? I feel tingling in the back of my neck, you know. And just then, Speed Demon, dressed as Cap, comes right up and he gets his shield next to Sam and he flings it. And Steve yells, Sam, he's gonna. And Joe says to the medic, wait. But the shield is being flung at Prescott's head at a high velocity, which probably could kill him, if not maim him. But just in the nick of time, next page, and we've got who we got here.
Boom, baby. It's our man. It's Bucky Barnes.
That's right. In his Winter Soldier outfit. And he comes and he knocks the shield down with his metal arm. Or at least he knocks it off course. And it just barely misses Prescott, but goes into concrete and sticks there. So you could see what kind of velocity that shield had. And so you got Sam and Steve running after. And Steve says, Bucky, I'm on Speed Demon. And Speed Demon's like, ah, stupid thing. He's trying to get the shield that's been wedged into the concrete. Bucky, what are you doing here? All right, now I got to figure out what's my voice for Bucky.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Hey, Cap! No, maybe not. Huh?
Yeah. When you took down a police station in Pennsylvania, I thought it might be good to see what the hell was going on. Damn it, we're going to lose him again. But just then, as Street Demon's getting the shield out of the cement, Joe comes over and hits him and knocks him down. He's too fast. Joe. Okay. Now I think I'm ready to go to the hospital. So the next page, this is the last page of the story, and it says hours later, and we got Sam, Steve, and Bucky at a gas station filling up motorcycles. And you hear in the, the radio playing. And in light of the attack, I've been thinking more about my wife and children. Nothing is worth putting them in danger. And I'm not sure if America is ready for a candidate like me. That's why I'm withdrawing from the primary race this time. Thank you. So Bucky says, Prescott's dropping out? I don't get it. He's okay. We saved him. Barely. It's not easy to be the first of anything. Imagine what he had to deal with before actual attempts on his life. What do you want to do, Steve? Prescott shouldn't be out of the race. Joe shouldn't be in the hospital. We're stopping this imminently. Bucky, I need you on this. You know I'm in. Sam, I never left. Then let's go put an end to this now. To be continued.
Hey, all right.
All right, so then one other page we'll cover that way, because we've done it in the last two issues, is there's this kind of, I guess, note that's been put into the database about the Captain's Network. And this one is the Captain America of the Kickapoo Tribe. Notes compiled by Steve Rogers and Sam Wilson. There's a picture of him and where he is on the map and where they've been traveling. Name, Joe Gomez. Kickapoo name. Chitasca. And that stands for Thunder That Jumps Across the Sky. And the clan that he's in is Thunder. Age 43. He looks great for 43. Mm-hmm. The last known location, the Kickapoo Reservation in Kansas. Data, a construction worker and handyman who took up the mantle of Captain America to protect his reservation. Champions the overlooked and underserved in his community and elsewhere. Note from Steve, everybody we met had only nice things to say about this guy. Seems like he's fixed an air conditioner or a leaky sink for about everyone on the street. Note from Sam, give you an idea, Steve. You going to come over and fix my air conditioner? Note from Steve, as if I know how air conditioners work.
No, I know what you're going to say, but don't say it. Because, you know, I think if we look back at the first two issues, right, and we looked at the notes, right, we saw, okay, we had Aaron, he's out there fighting against discrimination against transgender and folks that are in minorities. And then we saw Nichelle, right? And she's out there. She's bruising knuckles, like doing the things that she's doing, right?
Right.
But this whole storyline is about what would Cap do, right? And sometimes, you know, we have these grandiose ideas about what would Cap do, right? You got to go out there and you got to, like, you know, bruise knuckles, right? Okay. But Joe's not that way, man. He can do that. Obviously, he's a strapping dude, man, and he's got the uniform and he's out doing stuff. And we learn a little bit more, I think, about him in the follow-on story, kind of, you know, a little bit about his origins. But it's also just about being out there helping your neighbor. That's what Cap would do. And so I kind of like that they've throttled back a little bit on the sort of description about what he's like as a person, that, like, sometimes, man, it's just being human. It's right. Being decent. Mm-hmm. And so I like that.
What did you think I was going to say?
I don't know. I have no idea. Man. Sometimes I don't even listen, but you know, I thought you were going to say that didn't sound particularly sexy, right? It didn't sound like, what, fixing leaky air conditioners, man.
No. I just didn't. I didn't have a problem with Joe. I didn't have a problem with Joe.
All right.
I just felt, I don't know, the dialogue. Note from Sam, giving you an idea, Steve. You got to come over and fix my air conditioner. And then Steve says, as if I know how air conditioners work.
I have no idea.
It just seems, it's not dialogue I'm used to hearing from the two of them. I like the banter, but that you know, that part left me a little wanting, but
all right.
You know, I'm just, hey, listen, man, I'm bringing it. I'm being real, right?
Yeah,
I mean, overall, really enjoy the story. Overall, Cantwell gets what Cap's all about. I like the concept. I like the buddy, you know, going across country. I like all that. That particular dialogue wasn't my favorite.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you, Rick. I didn't love this issue.
Okay.
I didn't. I felt it sort of lacked a little of the magic from the first two issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know what it was. I think there was a great deal of effort in the first two issues, maybe, or maybe I just wasn't aware of it. It didn't resonate with me in this issue. that they tried to make it really relevant. There was a lot of historical, there was a couple of historical elements, you know, woven into issue three. But I think there was a missed opportunity, because this series thus far has not only been entertaining, but it's been educational. It's given you opportunities to sort of dig in a little bit, driven by the dialogue. And I just seemed a little bit hollow on there. It just didn't resonate with me in the same way as the previous issues.
Yeah, I could see that. Number one was introducing a lot, had a good monologue in the beginning. Number two, we had a couple of good battle scenes, and we got the villain reveal. Number three, you know, didn't have those types of elements in it. So it was, but that's okay. Right. I mean, they can't all be fantastic. This is the middle of a story. It's not the beginning trying to grip you, and it's not the end trying to bring, a good resolution. So, you know, that's okay. I think Eaglesham, did a nice job with the art. Then, like I said, there's a backup story here that basically kind of fills in the whole part where Joe says to Steve, "That's two, Cap, that's two." So what was he referring to? Well, read the backup story and you'll know.
Yeah. And this issue has something that the previous issues haven't had, that I think is awesome. And I encourage everyone who reads this series to participate in some way. You know what I'm talking about, Rick?
I'm all like a tither. Tell me.
The captain's communication, the letters to the editor, man. This is the first issue that has some letters and some Twitter comments, right, that they published.
Yeah, on the second page, yeah.
So that's awesome, man.
Yeah, so yeah, I they are. There's some good stories in here. I mean, good letters in here. There's one that, wasn't thrilled, but, and I think they put that in there just to be fair balance, but most of these, almost all of them, are really, really pleased. And also I think it goes back to, I don't want to, go through these again. I want people to buy the comic, and this is another reason to buy it. But they were basically saying what we thought they would say, which is, hey, I found something I could relate to. Yeah. And it, on a personal level, and I really enjoyed the comic for that reason. And hey, I'm happy for that. And I'm grateful that Marvel is doing that. So anyway, yeah, good stuff. Read the letters. All right. And so we'll get back to this story with number four in episode 53. So we'll come back in 4 weeks. This one comes out on September 15th, and then our episode 53 comes out October 13th. So you know what happens between now and then, Bob?
What happens, Rick?
Next episode. Oh my God, Bob, we're turning 50.
Oh, it's not the first time, buddy. I hope this one turns out better than the last.
Oh man, we're turning 50, Bob. How'd that happen?
Oh my goodness. I know. Where'd the time go?
Well, I will say this. Thanks to a big input from a handful of listeners who decided to become patrons, we could stick around a little longer. Right. So we did get a handful of new patrons, after we announced our new premium, where we're giving out the What Would Cap Do challenge coin. A lot of people seem to, it's been a big hit, and a lot of people saw the images of it and are like, yeah, and they signed up. So we're grateful for that. And because of that, we'll be probably around for maybe another 50 episodes. We don't plan on going anywhere. Every Wednesday, New Comic Book Day is also new podcast for the Captain America comic book fans.
And we've got some great ideas, Rick. We've talked about it offline, man. We've got some great ideas.
We really do. I think we've already recorded it. So we're very excited for episode 52, where we talk to none other than the legendary Captain America and many other series, writer Steve Englehart. So stick around for that. That'll be that. That's episode 52. Well, as always, Bob, it's been fun wrapping cap with you.
It has. It has. Let's do this again soon, Rick.
Sounds good. He's Bob Lucius. I'm Rick Verbanis, and you've been listening to the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. We'll be right back.